just want to make sure the audience knows that you're not plugging their numbers and working on behalf of them. And so.
Correct. No, totally fiduciary responsibility to the city. Sorry. So we use the information provided by the developer. We put those into our proprietary models, and we test certain assumptions as far as rental rates, costs, developer returns. And we've run through this project with several adjustments. We've run through this with Aaron to, vet those assumptions as well. What we generally do in a commercial property, which is a rental property, it's held for assumed a 10-year investment hold. And that's a kind of a commercial norm, if you would. And in that period, you assume that the developer receives the cash flow annually from the operations of the property, and then at the sale of the property, receives, a portion of the residual after paying off debt and then paying off his equity, their equity investors. Generally, those returns are in the 11 to 15% range on a commercial project of this type. In the model that we worked through with this, we're about a 12 to 12.5% range, so they're within the market norms, but on the lower end of that. So we feel comfortable with that arrangement in recommending that to you. Also, we do suggest in development agreements that are entered into between the city and the developer that you do entertain or utilize what's called a look-back provision. So what we have now is, projections of a project, the final design isn't completed, et cetera. So these are projections at this point. So the look-back provision allows that at the time of the sale or 10 years demarcation point, what have you, we would use the actual costs and actual revenues and then go back and recalculate that return. And if that return, for some reason, the costs were lower or the rental revenues were quite a bit higher, the developer had a substantial return on the project, there would be provision to gain some of that back or share that upside with the city. So that's a provision that we generally have. We've floated that in our discussions, and Zilber has indicated that they are amenable to that look-back provision. The assumption that we had used was allocating about 60% of the taxable increment that's provided from this project, which would go to the developer in a PAYGO facility for the additional cost of the motel portion. It was considered to be a $5 million grant up front to fill the financial gap of constructing this project. And the approximately $2 million PAYGO, which was kind of in consideration of the hotel property and related to that. What the PAYGO does is it allows the developer to receive a certain percentage of the increment that's generated by their project over a period of time. In this particular instance, the district, the tax increment district, closes in 2026. So it's a very short window for what normally would be a 10 or so year investment period, but even with that short window, we project that the project could support itself under this arrangement within that tax increment expiry or maturity. So, briefly summing all that, we find that the but-for test is met, that the project would not move forward but for the city's participation with this project, and that it provides a reasonable return to the developer, but not unduly enriches them.
Questions? Mr. Hertzberg, what is it that you're asking?
The request is for a direction to staff to work with Zilber regarding the proposed mixed-use development and to pursue a development agreement that includes financial support from Tax Increment District Number 3. Again, we understand that when developers work through a design process, acquisition of parcels, it's a relatively expensive process. And so this is an opportunity for us to get direction from you about whether it's worth it for the developer to continue to, and the city to continue to spend time on this project and moving it forward. So we appreciate your honest feedback about whether or not you'd like to see that direction of staff continuing to work to pursue this project. You know, the worst case scenario for a project like this is to get initial feedback, yeah, we're interested, and then reject it outright. Because of, you know, philosophies about approach to TIF or multifamily components or things like that. And so we'd like to offer this opportunity to provide your honest feedback about whether or not it's worth our effort. We do understand that you don't have full details of the project yet. There's still a number of things that would need to get negotiated, including, you know, complete design approvals, including approval of a development agreement, approval and agreement upon look-back provisions, things of those nature. So there's still details that need to be addressed. But we do appreciate if you can give a direction to us based on what you know about the project today. And I believe Mr. King wants to offer something as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of sum up. We really feel this is a unique opportunity for the city. You know, we have an existing TIF district that's in place. You know, it does not need to be created. There is a large amount of existing increment in that district, which will allow the city to reduce their risk by a tremendous amount, you know, with this project, allow the city to create this value, create this tax base, and begin bringing that money, you know, into the city coffers within just a couple of years, you know, not the 10, 15, or 20 years that you would typically see with a brand new TIF district. So this is really kind of unique in the TIF world, the chance to take this infill parcel, add a lot of value, and add a lot of tax base and capture that tax base quickly. We really would like to, you know, become partners with the city and create a public-private partnership for this and create an outstanding development for the city of Franklin. And, you know, as Aaron mentioned, we're willing to be real partners, you know, insert look-back provisions so that we are not, you know, becoming unjustly enriched out of this project. We obviously need to have an appropriate return and make the numbers work, which is important for the city as well, for this to be an asset for the community for decades to come. Frank mentioned, you know, the return of equity to the investors. Just wanted to make sure it's clear that Zilber owns these projects, tend to own them for the long term. You know, we do not raise generally outside investor money. So this is going to be an owned and operated asset that we have a vested interest, as does the city, in maintaining and growing the value over time. And really, like I said, this is a unique opportunity for the city to take advantage of that existing TIF district and create a lot of value in a brief period of time. Thank you.
Alderman Willow.
Well, I just want to let the council know what my take is and the residents as well. I think that this is a really good transition for the residents. What I could see here in what could come here instead could be a lot of trucks. I know there's one being proposed right up on the corner that, you know, where 18-wheelers would be in the area. And from the other areas of my district, they have types of things right next to residential. We get the beeping all night long, trucks coming in and out. So I like the fact that this is a nice transition for the neighborhood, which would be, I understand it's supposed to be more commercial and that here, but he's accommodating that up front. And the value of this in comparison to the motel that's there is why I had pushed for including the motel in this because of the situation we've had in that area. And I thought that the TIF, since the TIF is already there, the fundings could help with buying the motel and the demolition of the motel. And if you don't use it for this type of thing and increasing the look of the area, I don't know what really a TIF is does to help a community other than something like this. So I know if the residents had it their way, they'd probably not want anything there, but eventually something is going to be there, and I like the product and the value you're bringing and the buffers and the low density for the residents. So I'm supportive of the project, and I I am supportive of the project under the look-back period, the pay-as-you-go, and including the motel. And those are the things that I would add to the motion. But I want to hear some of the other feedback from the
Alderman Barber, then Alderman Dandrea.
One of the things that I've heard is that my people are very concerned about Little Cancun. It seems to be a favorite. I mentioned this before. So if that can be retained, I think that would go a long way to, you know, acceptance.
And it will be. They have a multi-year lease with extension options. So,
one of the other things, is there, at this point, is there a tentative project timeline that's available so we know what steps are going to be taken along the way to, so we can see what, I mean, we're agreeing to it, and I'm in favor of it. I want to go on record saying this is what I will go with it. But it would help just to see if there was a timeline as to all the steps that are going to be taken and what we're fully agreeing to as far as helping economic development understand what their role is and working through timelines on a project basis rather than just a project tracker down the road. So early on, to incorporate that project so we have a look-see at the timeline as well. I mean, it won't, like I said, that doesn't affect my vote here, but I was just wondering if it's available.
Yeah, we absolutely can provide that for you. We would like to break ground as quickly as we possibly can. We would love to do it yet this calendar year before the end of 2017. I'll defer a little bit to Aaron on next steps, but we would anticipate negotiating a development agreement if the council directs us to do that. We already have the motel property under contract, so we can absolutely execute on that portion of the project. We would work with city staff to prepare the remaining development plans that would need to be approved by the city, and would anticipate being back hopefully within a few months to receive the actual full approvals for both the development agreement and all other permitting necessary. And if at all possible, we would love to break ground before the end of 2017, which would potentially allow us to open as early as summer of 2018. If that's not possible and things move slower, then, pushes back to spring of 2018. But we'd like to move quickly if we all can.
That can just be shared if it is available.
Yep, absolutely.
Alderman Dandrea.
Mike, I'd like to thank you for the revisions that you've done to this apartment complex. It has improved light years compared to the institutional look that we saw back in August. So it's a very good modernized look to transition the residential neighborhood to the commercial district to the south. I know we've teamed up with Ehlers, and we've done a lot of work with Ehlers, and we entrust their work that they do and the diligence that they put forth in this project to properly vet it. So I do support the project in moving forward. So I'd like to see the rest of the council as well feel positive about this and move forward.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. So in the developer's agreement, it will spell out that the hotel is coming down, and so you're just going to have it, the pad just site, you're going to have it ready for development. You're not building anything. You're waiting for someone to come to you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. I mean, we will be actively searching for a user, during the interim as well. But we would acquire that parcel at the same time we acquire the other site. We'd raise the motel, immediately along with the other site work with the remaining site. And, correct, create a pad-ready site ready for development or sale to a user, depending on, who their user is. And we'd be happy to put those specifications in the development agreement.
Thank you very much. You have my support as well, then.
Is there an action regarding this matter?
One more that I forgot about. I know that several people are supportive of Little Cancun, and not that I don't support the restaurant, but I do know, serving on licensing, that there have been several issues with Little Cancun in regards to the functionality of the layout of the restaurant. So when we move forward, are those all addressed now?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so we're aware of that. Thanks.
Alderman the Mayor.
It appears I'm going to be on the minority here. But one suggestion, first of all, before I really give my main message, the road that goes through the apartment complex, I don't really see a need or reason that it needs to go all the way through to 31st Street there. That I could see as a problem, and that might be something that even you as the alderwoman might want to consider, because you might have traffic issues there. That might present a safety issue. So that's one thing. Beyond that, I don't support apartments on 27th Street is a bad idea. We did have apartments on 27th Street about where Home Depot is. We had three full-size apartment buildings there. And as I recall, that presented lots of issues, and it's gone now for many years. But we had apartments there. Number two, I don't support TIF funding for apartment buildings. And I understand that everybody uses the argument, well, everybody else does it. Every other community uses TIF's money to build apartments. That doesn't make it right. And I don't think it's right in this situation. And I worry that we're chasing yesterday's dream, putting in more apartments. We have apartments going up everywhere. And sooner or later, the apartments are they're going to be all filled, and people aren't going to want apartments anymore, and they're going to want to be moving back to residential areas. And so I think we're chasing yesterday's dream with the apartments. And we're creating development here. We're not really creating economic development. We're creating development because something is here to put in now, but something better might come along in the future. It might not, but it might. And though Oak Creek and the other taxing entities are paying their fair share during the TIF period, when we create this extra increment in the tax base, Oak Creek will be benefiting from their double what we're getting, but we'll still be left behind to take care of the police issues and the fire issues and the street issues and the snow issues and everything else while Oak Creek benefits twice as much as we do. So I am against it. Thank you. I would support the portion with the park motel. That portion, if it was separated, I'd be all in favor of that, but it's all as one, so I don't support it.
Mr. Roman, we hear often that tax incremental financing benefits school districts. Can you talk a little bit about the effect on school districts of a TIF district once it's defeased?
Well, I'll,
and if you don't want to, tell me you don't.
I'll touch on it because you said earlier this can get into the weeds pretty quickly. But, you know, again, the project is projected to generate about $550,000 worth of taxable revenue. During the development and PAYGO period, which is a shorter time, you know, this model or this projection right now shows 60% of that additional increment going to the developer to help offset some of those costs. But 40% of that comes back to the district. So all the taxing bodies that are within that tax increment district then receive, you know, that portion of that development benefit. And after the PAYGO period is over, all that, all the funds go back to the city. So it's a, we feel it's a strong economic driver for enhancing the city's finances and enhancing the, you know, that particular area with new product, bringing new businesses to the area. You know, apartments are not necessarily a job generator, but there will be some, you know, additional jobs at that point. So,
Mr. Roman, let me ask the question in a little different manner.
Okay.
2020, whatever it is, comes and the TIF district is now paid off and closed.
Mm-hmm.
What is the impact to the Oak Creek School District, Oak Creek Franklin School District?
I can't specifically address that. Sorry.
Okay. Alderman Mayer still has the floor. I'm sorry.
Just to point out to everybody in the audience, it does go back. Once the TIF district is closed, taxes go back to the taxing entities. And Paul, if I say anything incorrectly here, please correct me. I'll just do a brief thing. So that means Franklin, the city, gets our tax share. Mm-hmm. It means all other tax entities get their share. Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewer District, the state, whoever. It also means the Oak Creek Franklin School District gets their share. And because their share, school district taxes are about double what city taxes are. So because the city would make X amount, the Oak Creek City, because their one school district would benefit about twice as much as we do.
That would be true of any.
I'll see if I can rerun numbers at a later time and provide those to you. I don't have those in front of me at this point.
What I was looking for Mr. Roman to tell us is what we've heard before, that once the assessed value goes on the tax rolls for a school district, there's a corresponding decrease in state aids to offset that. So if you would address that, that would be helpful.
Yes, that's correct.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well,
are
I
you
want-
done, Dan?
I would just argue that point because you can't count on that, and that isn't a dollar-for-dollar figure, and any of that could change, and it is based on a rolling numbers that nobody can really define.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I don't disagree with everything Alderman Mayer had said. There are some points that he made. However, as far as putting homes or large homes on this property, if we could get that to happen, that would be great. But I, realistically, as much as I've seen what's happened in Franklin and how things get developed and built and where they would like to go, I just don't see this being a large home site. And what's going to happen with the Platt construction on the south side is you're going to have the same big opposition once you put in some big, rich homes, if you can get them even in there, on that corridor to be the opposition like we're having in some of the other areas. So I guess this is, to me, is a transitional zone, but I would like to have the each map that comes forward, when you show anything that you can show the existing property next to it where Platt would be on what might be there, you need to mark on there that it's going to be some type of commercial or something, so that when everyone's looking at this and the people that move in there understand that it's not going to be residential next to them, most likely. Or, well, maybe it could be still, but I mean, we need to at least mark that that's a transitional zone and show something on the maps. Because, I guess what I'm trying to say is people see these maps and they always think nothing's going to happen next to them.
I would,
and I'm trying to prep for that.
And I would suggest that the current use is probably the one that's the most incompatible with single-family homes, right? With a large construction storage yard in the back of it. And, it's difficult for, I think, any of us to project what the future use of that is. My understanding of the property as it stands today, if it's sold and put into use as the exact same use, it's legal, right?
Right.
You don't need any special use approvals to carry forward. If there was any suggestion of change of use, it could be improved upon based on the current zoning
right
associated
with
it.
Right now it looks like a swimming pool of asphalt out there. So
absolutely.
It would be very hard to put in some high-end homes next to that and in this busy corridor. So,
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Andrew. And first up, I could never envision large homes being in that location. So that's not even, I think, what Alderman Mayer, I'm guessing, is speaking in terms of what could be there potentially. So I think that discussion just ended because that's not going to happen.
No, that was not what I was referring to at all.
And I figured that. So let's just clarify that because that doesn't make any sense. You're not going to build houses.
Okay. Number one.
Number two, I thought that back in time when we talked about what could be there, this had a higher value than, let's say, office buildings or some sort of commercial buildings. I mean, based on the acreage and everything else, I can't remember what those numbers were, but it was quite a difference. And then you're sitting there waiting for that need of a large, not warehouse building, but certain types of development. I mean, this you have a $25 million dollars compared, I want to say it was like 10 to 15. There was a difference, and it was substantial. Do you have those numbers at some point?
Yeah, somewhere? I don't have it in front of
me. Remember we talked
right now,
about
but
this? It was a concept review, I believe, right?
Right.
When that
right.
came up. So,
not to mention the fact that, to really bring it home, that there isn't a market for large-scale office
right.
In a location like this right now.
Right.
And so we did look at the Adair Floors building to the south of
right.
that.
That's
what
we
that
use
look
that
like?
As an example. And the thing is, right. if those came forward today, the value is still not as great. So for in terms of what's the biggest financial impact tax base wise, it's what we have in front of us. So yes, you could wait for something, let's say, a different use, but it's not going to be this value. And we have to take a look at what we can bring in terms of property taxes. And that right here, and I think it is transitional, as Alderwoman Wilhelm said, you have neighbors and there's concerns, and it does kind of, how you blend it in, and the changes that Alderman D'Andrea mentioned about looking institutional compared to this, I think you've come a long way. And then we do have a problem area with, with the hotel, and you're addressing that. Someone could want to build something but not touch that. We don't care. We have no desire to do that. We want to be on the back side of the 27th Street. So I understand and respect Alderman Mayer's position. He's been very clear on what he feels should be on 27th Street and doing things that benefit the Franklin Oak Creek School District compared to things that he wants to see within the city that helps the more of our tax base. So I don't fault him for standing by his position. I expected that, but the difference is what we can get. And
just real quick, I ran the numbers based on some of the stuff I've got in front of me. Adair Floors, which is a building just south of these properties, which is a multi-story office building, roughly speaking, is about $1 million per acre. This project in front of us right now, based on the 18-acre site, is about $1.33 million per acre, which I think is what you were trying to get at.
Is there a motion to direct staff to work with Zilber regarding a proposed mixed-use development and to pursue a development agreement that includes financial support from the Tax Increment Finance District number 3 and...
I want to adjust the motion just a little bit, okay?
Go ahead.
Direct staff to work with Zilber regarding a proposed mixed-use development at 7333 South 27th Street and to pursue a development agreement that includes financial support from the existing Tax Incremental Financing District number 3, with the understanding that work will include the motel, the look-back period, and the pay-go.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Motion passes, 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent, no abstentions. Move on to item G. Thanks.
Thank Mike. You.
Glad to see you up and around.
Thank you.
Item G6, a contract with Ellers for financial services relating.
Aye.
Fine. I thought I just did. Contract with Rucker & Melke Incorporated for professional services task orders related to engineering in Area D. Mr. Hertzberg.
Sure. So this is the item that...
For the record, Alderman Taylor has left his seat at 727.
This is the item that we had the opportunity to discuss at the March 6th Committee of the Whole meeting. I've got Joe Eberly back from Rukert and Milky, our engineers, who's helped and advised through this process. The request before you is an extension of a couple of task orders to continue pursuing development on South 27th Street in Area D, moving forward with plans over there. The task orders include looking at some areas for stormwater management, as well as looking at some issues associated with the floodplain, as you all know, based on the state's plans to put in an interchange at Elm Road and reconfigure the South 27th Street entrance to I-94. There's issues that were expected to come up, and the contract here with Rukert & Milke will help us pursue, better understand that, and hopefully create some more opportunity for developable parcels. Larger developable parcels mean opportunity for additional increment. Additional increment means that we're in a more secure position in pursuing any TIF investment, and certainly would have larger increment in our community in the future. Any questions for myself or the consultants here?
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess I wanted to know what happened to task two. What about talking with another municipality? Where are we at with that?
Last
week or a week and a half ago, the city engineer and I met with representatives of staff of the city of Oak Creek and presented them with what we discussed with the council previously regarding sewer service in that general area on just north of East South County Line Road. They are